There's a good message in here this morning. It's a salvation message, but it's also a message for the church. But I'm thinking about doing something just a little bit dangerous. Anybody interested in doing just a little bit dangerous? Anybody? All right, so if I get ran off, y'all going with me? All right. Not so quick, amen. All right, I'm going to jump first. Now listen, I'm not a big secular radio guy. I'm not. You're not going to believe that, right? Your pastor's not a big secular radio guy. Everybody is like, whoosh. But every once in a while, you go to certain places and you hear music, right? Well, you know, and I've got a teenage daughter and a teenage son, amen? I'm not saying I approve of them listening to anything other than Christian music, but they're kids, amen? And I heard this song, and it kind of permeated my life. Got into my... You know how a song will intrude? Now listen, can I tell you how we get here? Sometimes, now me and Melissa, we take a lot of road trips. Now, every once in a while, we'll listen to every Christian song that we got. All right? So then we'll start kind of doing the channel search when we're like in another state, and you hope you'll hit one of them oldies and a goodie. You know, like from the 80s. Anyway, some of y'all went like, not my oldies. Amen. You know, are y'all going to give me a little bit of time this morning because I'm in that place. Listen, hey, you know when you're old is when all your hit songs are on commercials. That's awful, ain't it? You're like, I know that song. Oh, no, I'm old. Amen. But anyway, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, and it was like, I ain't lying, the Lord impressed on my heart to listen to this song. I'm like, Lord, come on, that's not a Christian song. It's not a bad song. You know what it is? It's about a woman. It was about a woman who had a relationship, and they broke up. And she was on the other side. Has anybody ever had a bad breakup? Never mind. Has anybody had a breakup period? And you're on this side of the relationship, maybe looking back and some things. Well, let me explain to you how I got to it spiritually. How about that? See, when I got saved, I got separated from this world. And there were some people that I really cared about. And our relationship has changed. I'm a new creature in Christ, and they're not in my life anymore. But sometimes I wish... No, matter of fact, all the time, I wish that I could somehow bring them to the place where they can understand what's happened to me. So I'm riding down the road, and I'm listening to this song by Adele. Anybody know that song? Hello? Y'all ever heard that thing? Well, see, first thing I did, I'm a shoot big guy, man. I shoot big. I mean, I miss a lot, but I shoot big. I called Adele's people. She's got people. I don't. She does. I called her and I said, listen, could you come by Flat Top Independent Church Sunday morning, 11 Eastern Standard Time? She's like, no. She said, but I got this person down there that can sing just as good as I can. So I want to put y'all in the car with me. I'm riding in the car and I put it on my iTunes, click, and here's what I hear. This is the first thing I hear.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything.
That's how I feel about my lost friends and people who don't know Jesus. I'm like, hey, would you like to get together? I would like to go over everything with you. No, never mind. I mean, I'm saying, I would like to get with you and go over everything. Everything's Jesus. Amen? Everything. Then I was like, all right. Can't go preaching to Dale up in the church. So then I was like, turn the radio. I just kept listening.
Hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call you next, home. Hello from the other side. At least I can say that I've tried.
Don't y'all like that? Now, some of you older people, I'm in trouble with you, but I mean, that ship sailed a long time ago. I don't care. Hey, listen, check this out. Ain't this so cool? Because that's exactly how we are. We're like, hello, from the other side. I've got friends that are lost, and I bet I've called them 1,000 times. Hey, remember when you first got saved and you was wondering if your old friends were going to turn you bad? Come on, I guess. Maybe some of y'all in the back will listen to me. All the people up in the front got shell shocked right now. But check this out. I was always worried, man, they're gonna drag me down. They're going to pull me under, right? But I got saved, and guess what? God changed everything in my life. Now I don't have to worry about them changing me. They have to worry about me changing them. I mean, I've got friends that I literally have tried to chase down. I've stood outside their house and tried to get them to come out and talk to me about Jesus. I literally have. And guess what? I found out one of my friends hid in the woods while I was looking around his house. I mean, I'm not the FBI, and I'm not that mean of a dude. I just wanted to tell him that I still loved him, and I wanted to at least talk to him about Jesus. And the end of that verse said, at least I tried. Are you trying? Now, this is bonus preaching. This don't count towards my time. I just want you to know, Jody talked me into this, too, by the way. She's firmly up under the bus. All right. So then there was this last part, and I promise we'll be done. So for y'all that are uncomfortable right now, be uncomfortable.
It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time.
Say it. Do it again.
It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time.
I was listening to that song and I heard that part right there and it set me on fire. Literally set me on fire. And I know it's not a Christian song. I know it ain't a bad song. I'm just telling you, it set me on fire because it made me realize again, hey, the truth is we are both running out of time. Lost people and saved people running out of time. We're not running out of time to end time. We're running out of time into eternity. Do you know that? Christians, we're going to run out of time and we're going to run right into eternity in a place called heaven. That's awesome. But there's lost people. And there might be some of you here this morning. You're running out of time too. And you're going to run into eternity. It should be no secret. We should be wanting to get a hold of people that are lost and tell them some of this stuff. Amen? Everybody give Jody a round of applause. Listen, if you got talent in this church, be ready to be put on full blast and be put out right in front of everybody doing crazy stuff because I like to do stuff different. Matthew chapter 13, let's get into the Word. Y'all ready? All right, that didn't count, so now let's start your timers. For all you timer starters, amen? For all you that came to church to get out of church. Golly. Another parable he put forth, Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed the tares and among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung forth and brought forth the fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Amen? So it's a simple message, powerful message, but simple message. It's wheats and tares. Amen? It's Jesus planting good seed. Good seed. Amen? In the earth. Amen? Good seed. That means he's planting his people. Amen? There are seed. Listen, this is seed like male seed. He's got his people. Amen? He's got his children. All right? And they're in the earth. Amen? And then also the enemy comes in and he sows seed too. Now see, we're looking at this and we think, when we read this, we think about, oh, this is a salvation message. It can't help a Christian. Well, it helped me a bit when I first started studying this out. It said this, listen, let them grow together. You need to write that down and make a note. Because you're a Christian, you're born again, but guess what? You are growing together in the field, which is this world, with lost people or tares. Amen? I want you to understand that. Don't be surprised that there are people in your life that are causing you chaos. Because you are growing, hello, you are growing together. Amen? When they both come up out of the ground, everything looked good. Amen? Until there was supposed to be some fruit produced, and then there was no fruit, there's wheat and there's tares. Write this down if you're a note taker. God sees the world like this. There is the world, that is the field. There's wheat, those are His children. And there are tares, they are the wicked ones. And that is the only way God sees it. Now listen, we see it a little bit different because we can all come into this house, we can all come in here, and we can put on, we can dress up, we can act like a Christian, we can talk like one. Matter of fact, a tare, another word for tares is darnel wheat. Darnel. Is there anybody here named Darnell? Amen, I'm glad. Amen? Darnel wheat. It looks like wheat. It grows like wheat. It just doesn't produce like wheat. Amen? How many of you ever done that? How many of you ever tried to come to church and act like you're a Christian? I have. It's pretty simple. It's almost like a roller coaster. It is, really. It's like a roller coaster. You get in line. Hello. You step up. You get in, right? Oh, I'm preaching now. Amen? You get in. And everybody's all excited. But there's some people who didn't want to ride the ride. They're on it for some reason. They don't know why. Look around. You look like you're in a roller coaster right now. Just saying. And there's some crazies, Rick, like me. Amen. We want to sit on the front row. Ha! Front row. Some people don't want to sit on the front row, but they up here anyway, baby. It's too late now. Amen. You ever been there, a roller coaster? Somebody talked you into getting in the front. Next thing you know, you're on the front. You're like, I didn't realize we was on the front row. Amen. And then people right on the front. Amen. They do this crazy thing. What do they do? They put their hands up. And they try to hold their hands up all the way through. The radical crazy type. And then some of the people in the middle and some people in the back who didn't want to be on there, who really didn't want to get on the ride. They don't know how they got in here. Some of y'all don't know how you got in here. You're here. So you see the crazy radical. Oh, I wish I had. Yeah, I'll preach to you, Josh. You'll hear me. Listen. Hey, listen. They get on there. All of a sudden, they see the radicals. Great. There's your hand. They go, maybe I'll raise my hands. They're like, oh. But then, you not feel comfortable. So you hold on again, right? Because you don't really know what they're doing. You just think they're trying to get better reception on the preaching. Amen? Because some of you got one guy got one arm up. He only got one antenna up. And there's a sister got one and like a half. And there's one guy doing shortwave, you know. Help me, brother. So you don't know where to be. So you just try to do your whole thing. You're trying to look like them. And guess what? Church, it's got some ups. And it got some downs. And it got some rounds. But it all comes back to the same place. And we all get out. And some, praise God, they'll run out of here and they'll say, we're going to do it again. You ever done that, Rick? I love that. How the adrenaline starts pumping. Feet don't even hardly touch steps. You running around the corner. I'm going to get back on that thing. I'm going to cut that little four-year-old and get on the front row. Right? What happens at the music part stays at the music part. Don't tell nobody, Rick. Rick said, last time I'm going to sit on the front row. It's where all the action happens. See, them people out there, them people in the back, they don't even know what's going to happen up here. Amen? You getting a whole different ride than the people in the back. Okay. But then the ride stops, we get off. Some people would be like, man, that was great. But they're still the same person. They ain't going to ride it again. They didn't even get on the first time. That made me sick. I don't know if I want to do that. Praise God. That's how church is sometimes. We start at the same place, get off the same place, we're the same people. Amen. See, when you come in here, you're supposed to be different. When you leave here, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to be changed. You're supposed to be going out of here and changing other lives. Amen. You know what? I got a view from my house. You know what the view is? I got a church right in my front yard. And somebody told me, don't you even think about going in there pastoring them people. Amen. But then if you look right to the left, there's a graveyard. It's a little bit of distance between the church and the graveyard. But you got to live your life just like that. Between the church and the graveyard. Amen? You come to church to get fed and fueled. You go outside, you do your work, because one day you'll end up in that graveyard and everything you do will be what you did between the church and the graveyard. I started thinking about these tares. Tares are very identifiable. You can identify them pretty good because tares, now don't get mad at me when I preach this because I knew it was going to be kind of confrontational. Tares take everything out of the field, but they never give back. Amen? Tares, all they do is soak up the nutrients. All they do is soak up all the good. Amen? See, farmers, they put down all kinds of fertilizer. They put down all kinds of chemicals to help that produce. I mean, they want a good plant. But the darnel weed or the tare, it just sits there and says, feed me. God, I'm preaching better than you're responding. It's okay. Amen? Feed me. Feed me. Some of y'all are wondering why you don't ever get a blessing because you ain't got nothing invested in this church and you ain't got nothing invested in Jesus Christ. He's got everything invested in you, but you don't have anything invested in Him. See, if you'll get invested, amen, with your time, write it down, with your time, with your tears, and with your treasure, oh preacher, don't preach on the money. I don't want your money, amen. I'm just being honest with you. But if you'll get involved with your time, your tears, and your treasure, when the ministry ain't going good, it'll hurt you. And you'll want to do something about it. You'll be so involved that you won't let it go down. But if you're just here to get fed and you're not invested with your time, tears, and treasure, then if it goes down, you don't care because you can walk out at any moment. That'll preach in every part of your relationship if you want it to. You're only going to get out what you put in. Amen? See, the wheat, they are taking the nutrients, they are sucking up the nutrients, they are growing, but eventually their fruit is going to help someone else. When you're a part of helping other people, you'll forget about all your troubles. Amen? Because you know what? When you minister to people and you help other people and you sow into other people, they take care of you. Oh, never mind. Golly bum. God's good like that. But them old darnel weeds, them old terror, they come in, they sit down, and they just sit down, well, I'll keep one more time. I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like her, and I don't like him, and I don't like the way they do that, and I don't like this, and I don't want to put up with that. Well, praise God, that's just being a suck and a drain on everything that's going on. God, can you preach like this in here? I didn't know if you can or not. Because you know what wheat does? Wheat says, feed me, and I'll produce back. I'll have something to give to you. Can I show you real quick in the Scripture? Take your Bible, if you real quick, and go 2 Samuel chapter 24. Amen? Somebody's going to beat me. I done skipped it. Uh-oh, I'm on it. 2 Samuel 24. Oh, that guy. 24:24. Amen? I knew this is a God thing because 24 is my favorite number. Amen? Anyway, now you got all my numbers to my codes. Amen? 24 is my favorite number. 2 Samuel 24:24. Now this is what I'm kind of talking about. I'm going to give you an example real quick and then we're going to go back and finish the tares and wheat's message. Y'all good? I was wondering how I was going to get three messages crammed into one service. I've about done it. Amen? And the king said unto Arnon, I guess, Arnon, something like that. Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee of a price, neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God, so that which doth cost me nothing. Underline that. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Y'all good? You know what he just said right there? I'll give you the breakdown. David said, hey, I need a place to worship God. There is a plague going on. Amen? If you didn't know it, America is stricken with plague right now. I'll tell you what the sickness is. We're sin sick. Amen? And some of y'all are trying to figure out what disease on the title. It's just sin sick. Amen? We're sin sick. And we got many of the outlying disease titles for it. Amen? But we're sin sick. So David said, you know what? There's a plague going on and my people are dying. I need to do something about it. And the only thing I know to do is get a hold of God. I'm going to sacrifice something. So he went down and he made a deal. And he said, hey, I want this threshing floor and I'm going to get some oxen. I'm going to do some sacrifice unto the Lord. Now listen, I'm preaching still. Just hang with me. This will take some maturity on your part. Hold on. Amen? So all of a sudden, praise God, the man said, you know what, David? You're a great and honorable man of God and we love you, but this, guess what? We'll give it to you for free. David said, no. No. I ain't worshiping for God where it didn't cost me nothing. Man, that's mature Christianity right there. If you can get a hold of that thought right there as a Christian, it'll blow your doors off. You'll get something out of this. Because guess what? David said, I want to be invested in serving God. I want to have something in it. I want it to cost me something. Because if it costs me something, I know it costs God something to save somebody like me. Y'all good right there? Remember that. 2 Samuel 24:24. You ain't never going to be able to outgive God. Give Him your time, your treasure, amen, and your tears, amen. And guess what? At the end of this life, you'll have really something to talk about. People will know you for what you did for God. They won't know you for somebody who drained everything. Be a fountain, right there. Be a fountain, not a drain. Be a fountain, not a drain. Whew. Y'all ready? Jump over to verse 37. We're going to finish this preaching. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the seed is the Son of Man. Matthew 13:37. And the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom of the tares, are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. This is a very simple message. You need to get a hold of this. There are only two kinds of people in this world right now. Saved and lost. Children of God and children of the devil. You are either one or the other. And I really don't care. I can't tell. Nobody can tell. But God can tell. And God can tell so quickly. And the angels can tell so quickly. That as soon as they seen them bust the ground. As soon as you came out of the womb. Amen. As soon as you started living, guess what? They looked in there and they said, hey, there's some weeds and tares. Can I throw something else in there? Exciting? Can I throw it in there? Anybody want to hear this? It's good? Here's a little bonus stuff right here. Just a little fiber to the message. You want it? Good? Okay, here you go. Check this out. The good thing about this kind of field, that God's such an awesome gardener, that He's got some wheat and He's got some tares in His garden. But guess what's cool about God? He can turn a tare. Amen? He can take a tear and turn it. Amen? I don't know how he does. I'm glad he let them grow together. Amen? Because just so happens that every once in a while, a tear, a darnel, will all of a sudden look and say, you know what? I don't want to be a drain. I don't want to be a darnel weed. I don't want to be a lost person. I want to be wheat. And so, I don't know how God does it, but He's done it for all of us. Don't the Bible say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Amen. We're all born of the water, right? Okay, that's what I thought. So we all started out as tares. And we all were growing in this world. And somehow God put the green thumb on them. Amen? And turned us from a tare to a wheat. I thought y'all would shout right there. Must have got the wrong crowd. I don't know how God does. I'm glad He's the greatest farmer. I've never seen anybody able to plant two different kinds of things and get something to change in the middle of it. Yeah. Golly, bum. Never. I'm just glad. Amen. Somebody said, why do you think He saved some? I don't know. I'm just one who was. Amen. Why do you think God saved you? I don't know why He did. I just took the opportunity when it came by. Amen. And guess what? Some of y'all are sitting here right now and say, what does that matter to me? Guess what? Your opportunity is coming by this morning. You can take it or you can leave it. Y'all ready? Check this out. The enemy that sowed The enemy that sowed is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. I hate to tell you this. You ain't going to believe this. At the end of this world, there's going to be a harvest. And the angels are coming. Amen? And they are going to reap the field. Amen? Now, you don't like to hear this. And people sitting here right now are sitting there going, man, they've been saying this forever. Yeah, they've been saying a lot of things forever. Forever they said that the Messiah was coming. He came. Amen? Forever they said he'll be born of a virgin. He was. That some of them said, and there'll be a forerunner. And he'll come and he'll preach. He'll make the way straight. He did. Amen? And then they said, well, then he'll have to go to an old rugged cross and be pierced and bruised for the iniquities and the sins of all men. He did. Amen? And then the Bible said, hey, and then on the third day, he'll raise again. And he did. Amen? And that same Jesus who rose again when he was ascending up in glory, the angels, those same ones who said that they will come and reap the world, the ones who will come and bring in the harvest, said, why you men of Galilee stand here gazing up? This same, God bless, this same Jesus, that one who ascended will descend. He will come back. And he will. And if you're lost, you'll be sitting there going, man, that old preacher said he's coming back. He said, hey, them radical Christians told me he's coming. I don't want to believe him. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. You hear that? Not nobody, I mean hardly anybody, ever preaches this message right here anymore. What was it called? Hellfire and brimstone preaching? That's what they call it. What it's called though, and there's this term in the church, I hate it. You don't need to beat people over the head with the gospel.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the truth. When people told me the truth about the gospel, it beat me upon the head, the heart, my conscience, and I needed it. I did. I needed it. I needed to realize where I was headed. Today, if you were about to die in some kind of, if this building was to catch on fire, and I only knew the only exit for you to get out was right over there, I guarantee you this without a shadow of a doubt, I wouldn't tell you nicely to get out that door. I wouldn't. If the fire was hot enough and bad enough and I knew every one of you were going to die, I would say stuff like this. Get your tail end up off that seat and get out that door before you die. Amen? But spiritually speaking, you need to get up off your seat. You need to run up here and cry out to God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. That's how serious this is. That's how serious this is. You've got just a limited amount of time to make a decision for God. Verse 41. That's the tares. That's where they'll end up. Here's where the Son of Man, the angels, will do with them. Verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You get that? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Simple message. So simple. The child could understand it. You're either born again or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And you got a choice to make this morning. I don't care where you come from. I don't know what your background is. I don't know how old you are. But I do know this. You're sitting in this room, this church, for just a time as this. And you have an opportunity. Let's all stand. as they come get a song, if God's dealt with your heart in any way, come and pray.